Today is the 9th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is a joy and a privilege to be here with you today around the global campfire as we come in out of whatever is going on and I'll move toward ending another one of our weeks together. So let's dive in. This week we've been reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and we are in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. We will conclude the book of Deuteronomy and move into the next book, the book of Joshua, tomorrow. And so, like those of you using the Daily Audio Bible app, if you've been checking off your days, since the beginning of the year, checking off the days as we listen to them, as we move through them, then we will have completed the very first section of the Bible known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. And so we'll all get our badges. We'll all get our badges. That just kind of helps us keep track of the progress that we're making. And we can look at all of that progress in the achievements section so that we can see, you know, how much of the Bible, how much of the Old Testament we're finished, how much of the New Testament, how much of the whole Bible we've concluded, and what the different sections that we will be concluding are. So be aware of that and check it out. I always look forward. So since we've gotten them last year. So I'm looking forward to reaching the first milestone on our journey this year. So that's coming up tomorrow, but this is today. And so we have a full reading in the book of Deuteronomy. And today we will read Deuteronomy chapter 33. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, gave the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and appeared to them from Seir. He shone on them from Mount Paran and came with 10,000 holy ones, with lightning from his right hand for them. Indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they assemble at your feet. Each receives your words. Moses gave us instruction, a possession for the assembly of Jacob. So he became king in Jeshurun when the leaders of the people gathered with the tribes of Israel. Let Reuben live and not die, though his people become few." He said this about Judah: "Lord, hear Judah's cry and bring him to his people. He fights for his cause with his own hands, but may you be a help against his foes." He said about Levi: "Your Thummim and Urim belong to your faithful one. You tested him at Massah and contended with him at the waters of Meribah." He said about his father and mother: "I do not regard them." He disregarded his brothers and didn't acknowledge his sons, for they kept your word and maintained your covenant. They will teach your ordinances to Jacob and your instruction to Israel. They will set incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Lord, bless his possessions and accept the work of his hands. Break the back of his adversaries and enemies, so that they cannot rise again." He said about Benjamin: "The Lord's beloved rests securely on him. He shields him all day long and he rests on his shoulders." He said about Joseph: "May his land be blessed by the Lord with the dew of heaven's bounty and the watery depths that lie beneath, with the bountiful harvest from the sun and the abundant yield of the seasons, with the best products of the ancient mountains and the bounty of the eternal hills, with the choice gifts of the land and everything in it, with the favor of him who appeared in the burning bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince of his brothers. His firstborn bull has splendor and horns like those of a wild ox. He gores all the people with them, to the ends of the earth. Such are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and such are the thousands of Manasseh. He said about Zebulun, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in your journeys, and Issachar, in your tents. They summon the peoples to a mountain. There they offer acceptable sacrifices, for they draw from the wealth of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand." He said about Gad, "The one who enlarges Gad's territory will be blessed. He lies down like a lion and tears off an arm or even a head. He chose the best part for himself, because a ruler's portion was assigned there for him. He came with the leaders of the people. He carried out the Lord's justice and his ordinances for Israel." He said about Dan, "Dan is a young lion leaping out of Bashan." He said about Naphtali, "Naphtali, enjoying approval, full of the Lord's blessing, take possession to the west and the south." He said about Asher, "May Asher be the most blessed of the sons. May he be the most favored among his brothers and dip his foot in olive oil. May the bolts of your gate be iron and bronze, and your strength last as long as you live. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to your aid, the clouds in his majesty. The God of old is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He drives out the enemy before you and commands, 'Destroy.' So Israel dwells securely. Jacob lives untroubled in a land of grain and new wine. Even his skies drip with dew. How happy you are, Israel! Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. He is the shield that protects you, the sword you boast in. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread on their backs." Luke 13, 1 through 21. At that time, some people came and reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And he responded to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than the other Galileans because they suffered these things? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well. Or those 18 that the tower in Siloam fell on and killed? Do you think they were more sinful than all the other people who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as well." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it and found none. He told the vineyard worker, "Listen, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil?" But he replied to him, "Sir, leave it this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will produce fruit next year, but if not, you can cut it down." As he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, a woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for over 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free of your disability." Then he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was restored and began to glorify God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded by telling the crowd, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Therefore, come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrites, doesn't each one of you untie his ox or donkey from the feeding trough on the Sabbath and lead it to water? Satan has bound this woman, a daughter of Abraham, for 18 years. Shouldn't she be untied from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he had said these things, all his adversaries were humiliated, but the whole crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things he was doing. He said, therefore, "What is the kingdom of God like? What can I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the sky nested in its branches." Again, he said, "What can I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened." Psalm 78, 65 through 72. The Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior from the effects of wine. He beat back his foes. He gave them lasting disgrace. He rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. He chose instead the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. He brought him from tending ewes to be shepherd over his people Jacob, over Israel, his inheritance. He shepherded them with a pure heart and guided them with his skillful hands. Proverbs 12, 25. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Okay, so in the Gospel of Luke today, Jesus makes commentary on some tragedies that were like local tragedies that had everybody talking. The kinds of stuff that would be on the news, the kinds of stuff that would be posted on social media. The news that had traveled around the countryside and that people were talking about. And they were tragic events, and so people were wondering about God's judgment on the people involved. And we do this kind of stuff still. You know, if there's a tragic weather event, then it's not going to take too long before people are saying or posting God's judgment on that land, or, you know, for whatever. Or if tragedy strikes, it's really, really easy to claim God's judgment upon those things or those individuals. Or we can even just look at people who are suffering and think, well, they're not living right. So, of course, you know, this is, God smashing them. We can either actually think those things or sort of subtly think those things. And Jesus spoke clearly today about whether or not these kinds of things are the judgment of God. And so, since we have these thoughts once in a while when we see things happening in the world and wonder about them, then we should pay attention to Jesus. And so, there were two situations, and one of them you can totally understand why people everywhere would be talking. And the other one, you can understand why people in the region would be talking. So there were some Jewish people, Galileans, so from the region that Jesus spent most of his life and ministry in. And the Galilee region, this was known for zealotry. It was known for like anti-Roman rhetoric and people that would cause mayhem, like zealots, people that would, you know, try to do guerrilla type tactics to disrupt Rome. This has been going on for a while. And so the region was on the radar for the zealotry. And some Galilean Jews that were thought to be zealots. And we can call them zealots in a really, really nice way, but the Romans wouldn't have thought about them as zealots per se. Like, if we want to use modern vernacular, they would have looked at them as terrorists because of what they were doing. And they were on the receiving end of it. And it ended up that they're chasing these people and they flee to the temple complex. And the Roman soldiers then invade the temple complex of God to get these zealots. And they get them and they take them out and their blood is spilled in the temple complex where sacrifices to the Lord are happening. And so that would for sure get people talking. The other thing was a pool in Jerusalem, the tower in Siloam. It fell down, like it became unstable and toppled and killed 18 people. So if we want to take a step back and just in some sort of way contextualize this so with a more modern understanding we can picture this, we would just say people had become obsessed with these stories. Right? People were obsessed with the news and trying to decipher the news and contemplate and discuss the news, interpret the news, and even muse about God's involvement in the news. I think that's something that we could say that's understandable, that's familiar. And so these people are wondering, were the people that died, were they greater sinners? Did they deserve this kind of punishment? And that also kind of sounds familiar. Like, these are the kinds of things that can get talked about and even obsessed over. So, I quote from Jesus then, in response to the scenario. Jesus said, "Do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than all the other Galileans because they suffered these things? Or those 18 that the tower in Siloam fell on and killed, do you think they were more sinful than all the other people who live in Jerusalem?" His response to both of those situations is this: "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well." So Jesus' commentary on these scenarios is that no, these people were not more sinful. They were not judged. That's not why the tragedy happened. We can obsess about the story and try to dissect the story and throw up all kinds of talking heads and on the television and get all kinds of experts. We can do all this, but underneath it all is something far more important. We're all headed toward death. If we don't repent, that's permanent. So in many ways, Jesus is pulling people away from all of the fanfare of the very glossy, high-profile stories that can steal days and weeks of our lives as we obsess over them. We can miss the greater challenge of keeping our eyes on our own lives and being aware of the terrain of our own hearts, being responsible for our own relationship, owning our relationship with God, and not focusing all of our attention on everything and everyone else. We have been given this life to steward. This is the life we should be stewarding. And so Jesus, as we approach the end of another week, we confess it's very easy for us to deflect, blame, to get distracted by all kinds of other things so that we don't have to face ourselves in the mirror, so that we have to actually open our hearts and see what's there, so that we don't actually have to do the work of opening ourselves to you. and spending time with you and allowing you in, into the basement, into the attic, into all the places of our hearts that motivate all of the actions of our lives. And so we're taking this on board. We invite your Holy Spirit to help us to continually consider this. Every time that we're pulled to an assumption or an opinion about something that's going on, that's juicy, that we just want to waste hours on, help us to return. To return to our own hearts. To invite you to speak to us about our own lives. To allow the voice of wisdom to give us the counsel about the way we should go, as opposed to trying to figure out the way everybody else should go and interpret everybody else's action. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It is a website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. It's home of the Global Campfire. It's home of the Daily Audio Bible Shop, where there are resources definitely for going deeper and wider. Also, the community section is there, and this is where to get connected. This is where the prayer wall lives. And the prayer wall is a place that we all can go to any time of day or night and ask for prayer. Or any time of day or night, offer prayer and respond to those in need of prayer. It's always happening, and so be aware of that. That's in the community section. The community section is also where to get connected. There's different links to the different social media channels that we participate in, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission here to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered out into the world to anyone who will listen to it anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around the rhythm so that we know we're not in this alone. Not just the journey through the Bible or the solitary, quiet devotions, but also life. We're going through a year of life together. And the table has been set. All we have to do is show up. If that makes a difference in your life, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button, the little red button up at the top. In the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
James, I'm the school teacher from L.A., you were the first dabber I ever met in person. I had been praying for you and your wife to be blessed with a child. God answered your prayers. I got to meet your wife and your first child. My heart is broken for you right now. I just want you to remember that you are loved and cared for. My stepson is going through the exact same issues that you are right now. I want to give you Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through these waters of threatening divorce, remember, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, Isaiah 43:2. James, hang on, and welcome back to the Dabbers. We missed you. Don't be far. Keep in touch. This is Karen from Hemet. I don't know if you remember me reaching out to you at one of the meetings that Brian and Jill did in the LA area. God bless you. I'll be keeping you in my prayers.
Hey, DAB family. This is T from Florida. And this is my first time calling, but I am definitely a long-term listener. Been listening. I think I've been tuned in since like 2006, maybe 07. It's been a long time. But to be honest, I fall on and then I fall off and back and forth. But I did feel compelled to call today because of James from LA. I think he goes by the name James, the teacher or something like that. I can't remember, but he needs prayer. And I've been praying for you, James. You were saying that you've been having suicidal thoughts and that you've had them before, but they were really bad now because of what you're going through in your marriage. And, you know, I want to send love your way and to tell you, you know, you're needed. You're needed. You're so important. God created you for a reason. He put you here on this earth because you are a part of his family. You're his child and he adores you. He took the time to create you and put you together and knit you so perfectly and intricately. And he blessed you with children who need you. So we're praying for you. We love you. And, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing a praise report from you. I'll continue to pray for you and for everybody who comes on here asking for a prayer request. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Daily Audio Bible family. This is Troy in Amarillo, Texas. Please, please pray for my mom. She was in a really bad car accident yesterday, Easter Sunday, and is not doing very good at all. I need prayers that she can recover from this. Thank you so much.
Hi, family. This is Happy to Be in Colorado. I've called in just two other times. I'm a long-time listener, but I have just started calling in recently because my marriage is in crisis. If you've followed the DAB friends on Facebook, you might have seen my post. I'm just so desperate for your prayers. I'm so desperate for hundreds of people to be shouting out to the heavens on behalf of me and my husband. My husband, Chris, has said that he is done with God. He's walking away. A lot of that is just, he's not happy with where our life is, and he blames God and feels like God has cursed him. With that, he is ready to end our marriage. And I'm just so broken. Like, I've never felt the depth of pain like this before. It's excruciating, and I just would really covet your prayers for Chris.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier. Just calling to pray for some of the Dabbers. I wanted to pray for Jermaine, my brother who's incarcerated in New York. I just want to pray for him for strength. I want to pray for him for guidance. I want to pray for him for the victory in whatever the challenges that brought him there, so that when he's free and while he is free in the mind, that God can bless him tremendously. I want to pray for Susie. I want to pray for her and her husband who have the orphans in Haiti. I want to pray for the little baby Elijah, that like a miracle for his little brain and his little life. I want to also pray for James, our teacher and her wife, whose wife is asking for a divorce. don't just take it as cash, James. I want you to continue to pray that God will help her to see what she has in you and see that the two of you can fix it. We want to pray for a miracle. God can still work miracles, and no matter what, hold on, because the babies need you, and you have a plan. God have a plan for your life, and he can't fulfill it if the enemy uses you to do anything that is rash. Just continue to trust him. I've been through the divorce myself, and I know how challenging it can be, but I know one thing, that God can bring us through. I just wanted to say that to you, my brother, and encourage you. And I want to pray for those who are going through depression. I want to pray for those who are looking for jobs, and I want to pray for those who are looking for spouses, and want God to bless them, get a spouse that is right for them. Father, we just lift you up. We praise your name. We magnify your name. Lord, you have your way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you have your way in the